Luke 6, verse 28. We spent a lot of time again yesterday on, I think I went in a rant or something. I can't remember. But we started with bless. Bless them that curse you. We found out that.
You got choked up yesterday. Couldn't go very well.
I know, but I can't remember what I talked about. Because we talked for 20 minutes.
We said we'd finish it off.
Anyway,
just roll and see where it goes.
Bless here means on them that curse you. Bless is to invoke a blessing upon. Pray that they prosper, etc., etc. Them that curse you, this curse is kata ra'umai. It means to pray against, wish evil upon you. And let's look and see how this is used. But let's first go to...
Can I suggest something? Let's go back to prosper a second, because that's always important.
Prosper is a word in Greek that means that you would have a completed journey.
Not a pocket full of money.
No.
And the journey is
to the New Jerusalem. That you wouldn't be sidetracked on by the world system. All right.
That makes prosper versus poor, where you're unable to complete anything.
Right. All right. Curse. Let's go to let's go to first. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord God said unto Abram, he wasn't yet Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, this sounds like it's the opposite of what, because he's saying here that the curse, the second, I will curse them that curse thee. The second curse is, he will curse. It's to bitterly execrate. If you remember when we studied that a long time ago. It's a pretty heavy duty curse. And who is the thee? He's talking to the seed of Abraham. And the promise, and it's the same seed of woman in Genesis 3, and it's the same seed that Paul talked about in Galatians, where the promises of Abraham go not to the seeds as of many, but to thy one seed, which is Christ. The promises of God go to Christ, and only God or Christ can curse, not you. It's not your business. You never wish a curse upon anyone. What?
No.
All right. That's the first place. Now let's go to see another place where Jesus did it. Matthew 11. Verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for you tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in that day of judgment than you. And thou, Capernaum. And that's Capernaum is the place, you know, that's the fishing village, and Bethsaida is right up next to it in Galilee. That's Peter's house. That's where Jesus lived when he was in Galilee. Now listen. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Now, if he's applying that to whole cities, just think of what he does to individuals who have the mystery revealed unto them and then ignore it. So, it's only God or Christ that can curse. We never can. We bless them that curse. What? You're doing something.
Well, I'm thinking that this surely implies we have a choice here. And,
how does it imply we have a choice?
Well, you just said it. Then. If we don't repent, if we don't choose to repent, is what it sounded like, then we are subject to this curse.
So you're approaching free will here.
Well, that's the
there's only two wills, the will of God and the will of Satan. Your mind is only capable of manifesting the will of Satan, self for self, self-realization. The mind of Christ is self for others. So this isn't a choice, it's a what is. If you've seen the cross and picked it up and stayed faithful to it and don't allow the evil one to be resurrected because you know the stupidity of it, then this is a what is.
It's like I'm talking on different levels here, because even the word you don't allow, there's something, no, I got to not allow something. But I don't think it's that level where this takes place. I think when you see, it's out of your hands.
It's no
longer your choice or your decision.
Well, let's see it. Let's go to Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. As long as you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you continue on in self-revelation, self-realization, and try to use the mystery of the kingdom of God for you to gain, then this is to you. And still, there's no choice. It's a what is. If you've seen the mystery and you still ignore it, and you continue in sin because you're saying grace will abound, and you've crucified the Son of God afresh, and this scripture here applies to you. Everybody understand that? You're still doing it.
Well, this, to me, it's the knife edge of faith. It's flesh. The closer you get to the light, the more flesh wants to be a part of it.
Well,
I mean, just the very language that this is written in, it's I'm sure even meant to be this way. It's because we self always wants to have a little credit for something, it seems like, rather than death. And so picking up the cross in every arena is, I don't know if that's a choice or what is, but it's something.
Well, this it says clearly that Christ said, if the works that he did in Capernaum would have been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented.
Yeah.
I would say to you, if the works that God has done here had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have repented. Now, the only question is, that's why I keep telling everybody, if you got a what if, and if you got an if only, go take care of it, go run and do it quickly. If there's something that you think you have to do, go do it. Till you can find and see with every muscle, nerve, and fiber of your being that that all of the activities of the human race are empty and vain and worthless. And that you, so repentance is the only answer. There is nothing else. But if you're drawn back away of your own lusts, then it's not too good for you.
Yeah. I'm squeezing this into the observe to do. It's like that takes it out of the personal choice realm for me anyway. But when you see there's not an effort involved, you see and it's so clear, it's like you're not making the decision, you're just doing what's there that's right.
I mean, you're walking away from you. But you have to stay walking away, and the longer you walk away, the wider that gulf is between him as your only self and this thing called you. There's a humongous gulf there, and you wouldn't even think of going back there.
Yeah, it's not even on the realm.
But again, that's why we need each other, because sometimes you can't recognize in arenas that you're going back to the stupidity, because there's something deep within you that is overpowering you, and so you run you say like, you find some reason to sell your birthright. Let's go to Hebrews 12.
I think what hit me while you're just talking there is that's why we need each other. That's built into it.
Right, because it's not my father, it's our father.
Right.
It's not an individual, it's a seder. In my father's house are many seders. Now, what?
I didn't understand what you just said about a reason to sell your birthright.
Well, you've got some little feeling of righteousness that you gain from being right about something, and you've sold your birthright for that. Just like Esau sold his birthright for a pot of beans, which we'll see. That's what we're going to look at right now. Hebrews 12. Well, we get sidetracked again. We just went through this great cloud of witnesses people that were sawn asunder, that lived in caves and dens of the earth. So the world was not worthy. And this great cloud of witnesses is our surrounding reality. And if we live in the New Jerusalem, they are our next of kin. Therefore, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, are surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Not our faith, we don't have any. Faith. You see, and again, I say to you, when there's words in italics in the King James Version, it means they were added because some translator thought it would make more sense. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith, not our faith, and who, instead of the joy that was set before him on the Mount of Transfiguration, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Now, what does it mean to faint? It means you stop. It means your mind returns to cause and effect. Your mind returns to what I'm going to do about this. Your mind returns to finding a solution. Remember, we've said it so often, you are wearied in the greatness of your way, but you say not, there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand, and therefore you are not grieved. That's happened millions of times to each one of us. But then we come up with some other solution, some other philosophy, some other anything but death. All right.
I had one thought here where I'm thinking of the reading last night, and where it says he's author and finisher of faith. It's like that. When he said it's finished, that too, faith was
completed. Faith was completed.
Yeah.
Amen. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hallelujah. Now, what does that mean? You have not yet resisted unto blood. I promise you, if you don't know what it means, you will. Because in those arenas that are still, if they are any, that are still plaguing you, you must resist unto blood. Now, what does that mean? Your own blood? No. You resist unto seeing his blood in every possible arena of your life. Instead of all these idiotic things, oh, I'm going, this is why you do that. You've heard me say it a million times. If I paid any attention to my mind, every one of those labels up there would be gone. If I'd pay any attention to my mind, I'd have killed Ronnie about 18 years ago.
Yeah, not just Ronnie.
Everybody around here would be dead.
Including me. I'd have been killed so many times.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, you can't. You've got to know that there is absolutely no function for your mind, except to take everything out as far as possible. To have the courage to push all your ideas and all your opinions to the edge of time and space itself. Come now, let us reason together. Oh, everybody loves that. The highest reason can take you is chaos. The highest reason can take you is that you are a ball of sin. come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, he shall make it white as snow. And if you don't know your sin is as scarlet, he cannot make it white as snow. If you don't know that your life is a joke, everything about you is a cosmic joke, God's been mocking you your whole life. Oh, no, not me. I'm special. Anybody believe that?
That you're special?
No. Anybody believe that God has been mocking them their entire life?
Uh-huh. I never thought of it that way until now. But I never thought I was that special.
Oh, yes, you did. You still do. You have value systems that are that should be followed. No?
But I'm trying to get better.
All right, let's go on. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you've forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My child, or my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now we'll say, everybody's response to that, well, because I was going through a lot, I didn't know it was the Lord rebuking me, because you believe you've been separate. You never have been. You're either going to be birth or afterbirth. There's no in between. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening without fainting in your mind, if you endure chastening, you can only endure chastening by waiting only on him. That's what enduring chastening means, right? Not coming up with your own solutions. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, in other words, when the heat comes, you leave, or you've got some other thing, or you leave in your mind, you go to some fantasy land, you play a video game in your mind, and then you're not enduring chastening. And so you're not a legitimate son, but you're a bastard. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us as we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for profit, not our, ours isn't in there, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You notice, the parents chastised you for their pleasure, so you wouldn't embarrass them. What?
That's what wives do to husbands.
No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Follow peace with all, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and hereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat or food sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So that's what it means. You sell your birthright for a momentary feeling. It's always for eating something. Understand? What? What are you doing? You're doing something.
Trying to
figure it out.
Now he's going into the I'm being humble mode. Cause see, so he won't look at me.
I'm just eating my kids.
What?
I was just eating my kids.
Well, I know you are. All right. We'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. But you cannot curse. Amen.
Amen. I'm just thinking of obedience in this moment where you remain under and continue to see. And that is not a decision point. That's a what is, I think, is as you see, you will repent up.
Remember, there are no, I believe with every part of my being that this book is not about religion, it's not about science, it's not about history, it's not even about morality. It's about two environments, an environment of eternity and the environment of time and space. And they're what is in that it was in those environments. If your environment is on the mercy seat in eternity, then there's a whole raft of what is that are joy unspeakable, and et cetera, et cetera. If your home, if your life is still in time and space, you may believe you have an inheritance someday, and you might even have visited once or twice. But then you're still back in time and space, and the garments being spotted by the flesh. You can't just visit this mystery. You have to live there. It's not a momentary revelation. It's a dwelling place. That's it. The only entry.
I mean, you can't come back.
Well, you can be. You can allow the. You can give breath, hope to breathe life into the evil one again, who is killed by his deadly from his deadly head wound, and you bring him back to life. But none of you would do that, would you?
Today, this morning. How about how do we die? How do we die? How do we continually...
You don't die. You're already dead.
I know, but...
Reckon.
There's two most important words in the Bible. He just said one of them. Reckon yourself crucified and let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That comes only by abject and total repentance. Which reminds me, we have to have another meeting this morning. What time?
What time is good for you? 9? Well, I don't know.
9? 9 work?
About
8:30. Not you.
Not you. He's talking to these guys.
I was talking to Chiz and Pete.
All right. Have it that way.
Be that way.
You can come if you want to. All right. Anybody have any other responses to any of this? It isn't difficult. The warfare is over. There's a bright, shining light. Just open your eyes. Now what are you doing, Gary?
Well, this so entertains that point. Where you have said many times, if I ever tell you what to shoot you.
And, you're about to?
I've got my guns loaded. No, and so that's what I'm talking about this morning. Anytime that's, and the language is replete in here with your mind, sometimes hears it as, oh, here's something to do. Oh, now I got to repent. Now I got to not allow. Now I got to let. Now I got to. That's all the mind can do is look for that one little spark of life that it has this point. But to me, this was a real important time this morning because it's all not about that. And it's about the seeing.
Right, and it's about the total. It's seeing through this idiotic concept called free will. There's only two wills in the universe, the will of God and the will of Satan. But even the will of Satan turns out to be the will of God.
Yeah.
But godly, you know, you gotta see, do I want to be in this land which I know is just crap, dung, as Paul calls it? Or do I want to be in the land where there's joy unspeakable? Well, the issue is, you can't. Flesh and blood cannot get there.
Right.
So that's the reckoning of yourself crucified. You see yourself as dead. You were buried in baptism. If you weren't buried, you just got wet. You didn't weren't baptized.
Yeah, so you're in the land of crap, and you recognize, hey, I'm in the land of crap, and now you don't say, what can I do to get out? You don't do something. You reckon yourself crucified, and
you wait. You wait on him.
Yeah, and that's if you're going to do something, you believe on him who he sent, not your own arm of understanding.
How do you wait on him?
You stop. Cross. Die.
Again, let's one more time. One more time, this ancient prayer.
Might not get the right answer.
O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thou thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee, I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. Everything that every aspect of your mind and your emotions, they have lied to you from your first moment of self-awareness, because all of the lies are you gaining something, you doing something, you becoming something. You have to see the end of that. Then the rest of it's automatic. Amen?
Yeah, when I said that about you can't ask the question that way, the only one asking the question how to is the flesh. That's the clue.
So flesh can't inherit the kingdom of God.
So if you're saying how do I do, then that's where you stop.
How to?
I know who's negotiating here. The dead man. You eschew him.
All right, take a big guy.
Again.
Yeah.